She surprised you with a group of your closest friends and family, and we're like, we need to talk.
Dynamic Resolution, a video game show. That's right, we're back. We are back with another episode, bright and early, fascinatingly early, destructively early. I am Shane O'Hare, greeted by Derek.
Greeted with
Derek from Xbox Game Passengers and Josh.
What's that?
From the yearly waifu top 10 list, famously the waifu top 10 list of the year.
The annual list that hasn't been up in like 5 years.
Yeah. And if Logan was here, I was going to introduce him as Logan Morris because of the last week Derek was concerned that, like, how come we all get last names and Logan doesn't get a last name? So there you go. Good morning, everyone.
Did you just not use in our last names in this, but then used his last name?
No. See, you should subscribe and listen to the show and pay attention next time.
No, like right now I'm saying.
No,
I think you called me Digital Derek.
Yeah, but that's not... What's your last name?
Kranevelt.
Yeah, but I didn't say Kranevelt.
No, I know I'm saying that, but last episode you said our last names, and then it was just Logan from memory card, and then this time you reversed it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't know if that part was deliberate, so I wanted to check.
All right, well, thanks for coming, everybody. It was it's great to be here, as always.
I mean, I don't know about great, but it's all right.
All right, so we have an update on the cookie capers scenario. I got a text.
Is this
message.
Why you went to the gas station this morning? Was to get ready for the cookie capers?
No, I desperately needed caffeine.
Did you buy a bunch of them so that you could just have caffeine at home without going out?
No, I like to go and see the people at the gas station.
Yeah. And they'll all be gone by next show anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is so that caffeine next to your bedside table, or what is that?
That is
like a cold brew.
No, that is a McDonald's Diet Coca-Cola that I got at 2 a.m.
Nice.
So, update on the cookie capers incidents. I got a text message from somebody. Hey, looking for a quick clarification. Was that double stuffed Oreo or regular Oreo that you did the test with? Just had a regular Oreo for the first time in a long time, and I could actually see how dipped in water it would taste exactly the same, which is why I asked.
So you got double stuff?
No, it was regular.
But now you got double stuff because now you got to compare.
No, I'm not doing cookie capers today. But by proxy, we have a Oreo flavored Quest bar.
I mean, that sounds gross from the get-go.
Yeah.
Quest bars are actually kind of gross. I don't know.
I like them.
I don't even think they sell them here. I think they don't meet the low requirements of the Canadian government. Oh, it looks horrible.
Yeah, those are pretty bad. I eat a lot of disgusting protein bars, and I don't eat Quest.
I'm gonna drink it with a...
You're going to dip it in the Wampa Fruit?
The Crash Bandicoot Wampa Fruit G Fuel. I'm very tired. I think I probably fell asleep at 3 a.m. and had an alarm set for 7:30 a.m. So, cheers.
This will wake you up. Can you gargle it a bit so it really mixes together?
I don't know why I'm doing like a test, because I have this combo for breakfast multiple times a week.
Specifically the Wampa Fruit?
Yeah. They have Tetris, they have Naruto, they got fucking PewDiePie.
I don't think G Fuel is a product up here. Is it just energy drinks but with like video game names?
And like and influencer names.
Too. Yes, yeah.
I honestly heard of G Fuel from a bunch of YouTube videos that people had G Fuel fridges in the background.
I think I almost bought some once and like tried to ship it to my US shipping address because it was like Sonic the Hedgehog like chili dog flavor or something, and it was
Sonic rings, peachy.
Oh, was it? I feel like there was a chili dog one too.
Mm.
But I realized that I didn't need to spend $30 on that.
What?
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. What have you been spending your money on lately?
So, is that what we're starting with?
Well, the first thing on the list.
I mean, that's just because I made the list, and so I put my stuff first. Yeah, so last week I talked a bit about... I feel like that about sounded a little more Canadian than I'm used to. And Shane was going to call it out, so I beat him to it.
I didn't even register.
Derek is
wearing a collared, plaid patterned, but not flannel shirt because he, quote, is leaving the house today.
It's a big deal for me.
I'm wearing the shirt that I went to the bar in last night.
And slept in?
Yep. And Josh with the award-winning biceps in a King Switch shirt.
He does look pretty swole from this angle. I mean, in every angle, but this one for sure. Mm.
It's just the blood from all the anger of the result of the AEW show last night.
What is King Switch?
This guy right here, he was in the main event last night. He goes by Switchblade. And that used to be, well, King Switch was a name he went by at the previous company he was with before he moved over to AEW. I don't think he's called himself King Switch since he's moved, huh, Derek?
I haven't, not that I can recall, no. Not that I've really heard.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you both the photo on Instagram because I couldn't text it to you last night. You need to see this. Hold on. Talk about the show or talk about what you've been doing for a second while you...
So last episode I talked a little bit about this new trading card game. And someone threw their that was like a thrown voice. I heard a cough and I didn't see any mouth.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, open up Instagram. I'm gonna send you a photo. I saw a poster for a local live wrestling event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who any of these people are.
That does not look like a wrestling show.
It
looks like something that would be behind the curtains at the video store.
emphasis on these two, this tag team duo, the guy who's dressed like a Catholic priest and the other guy wearing a big cross on his chest.
I feel like the guy, this is a very blurry photo, so it's really hard to see, but like the bottom right trio, the middle guy kind of looks like Ravenous Randy.
The guy on the left looks like a Czechoslovakian immigrant.
I feel like, so we have a kind of lower, there's a few like local wrestling promotions around these parts. And we get a lot of like good stuff from like Seattle and everything as well. But there's one that's like this family friendly kind of like low budget one called ASW or All Star Wrestling, who like has been around forever. And like, I think Chris Jericho and stuff like did some wrestling there, like before they were famous and everything. But this gives me All-Star Wrestling vibes.
No knocking on any of these people.
Oh, but, no, not at all. No.
They're on a poster and I'm not. I just love the really fat like borders. Like they couldn't print it edgeless. And the Catholic priest wrestler, that sounds, has there ever been like any like religious wrestlers like that?
Oh, tons of them.
Like besides the Golden Sheik.
The Golden Sheik?
Is that his name?
The Iron Sheik?
He wasn't really religious. He wasn't really a religious character, but yeah.
Oh.
I mean, the Undertaker swapped was like a evil priest for a little while. There was Mordecai, who was around for I think a month and then disappeared, but he used to like, he was like supposedly the, I think the idea behind him was he was like the Christian version of the Undertaker, I guess, where Mordecai. He was like a priest. Yeah, he was like a priest to counteract like the zombie mortician or whatever the fuck he's supposed to be. Zombie mortician biker. So.
Yo, is this him with like blonde eyebrows? Kevin Thorne?
Yeah, he went through a couple different characters, but when he had the blonde eyebrows, it was when he was Mordecai.
Yo.
And when he was Kevin Thorne, he was a vampire.
Oh, I've seen the vampire version.
I was just trying to find an all-star wrestling poster, but I can't. But it's got those vibes. It's got those vibes.
You can buy an 8x10 photo of Mordecai on eBay for $9.99.
Seems like a good deal.
Yeah. It's a glossy. WCW. And that just shows you. Got 6'3". Okay, sorry. Continue.
I mean, we can talk wrestling if you want.
I don't.
We saw a man get his face stapled last night, among many other things. Mm. You know.
They stapled his child's drawing to his face and then ripped it out. Yeah. and then laid under him to drink his blood as it was dripping off of his face.
Yeah, and then spat and it into him. It missed.
And that was the first. That was the first 4 minutes of the match.
Yeah, it was. Michaela, Shane Michaela was watching with me, and she just had like this, like her face must have hurt afterwards from being in this like cringe, like oh my god, like face for such a long period of time. It was wonderful. The whole thing was cinema. You know,
cinema.
I think Megan stopped watching.
Josh and you.
Megan stopped
live.
Watching. Is that what you said?
Huh.
Did you say Megan stopped watching?
I think, yeah, with hardcore matches and stuff like that, she just gets on her phone until it's over.
That's fair, yeah. It is a lot. What were you going to ask, Shane?
I forgot.
You're saying I was there.
You said Josh, you were there.
Yeah, I was there. Sorry, I was typing and reading and talking at the same time. And so I need to get a thing. So yeah, you were there. Is that the forum, right? That's where we saw My Chemical Romance.
That was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They did two nights back to back. So yesterday we were in the upper deck and couldn't make out a lot of what was happening. But I didn't realize he stapled a picture to his face until I went home and watched the clip. But yeah, we were there in person. It was a lot of fun.
What? Sorry, I don't have him. Whoa! Hello, Fast and Furious. Is Tom? Tom there? Is Tom going to church this lovely Sunday morning?
Who the fuck is Tom?
Cruz.
Oh. But didn't you say Fast and Furious?
Yeah. Yeah, but Josh lives near the church.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're doxing him there. Jeez.
We've doxed him multiple times.
Oh, all right. This time, though.
I mean, yeah.
Too far.
I'll just read my address if you want.
send any fan mail or anime figures to
fucking I get to see Josh fucking fight me, nerds. I'm ripped. Let's see this. I think we talked about this on the last show, but Josh posted a photo in front of the forum and I just was like, damn, he's got fucking gammy legs, like big old tree trunk thighs.
I think we talked about it off air.
But like, yeah. You guys ever seen the GoldenEye?
Like the movie or the game?
The movie.
No,
I didn't know it was a movie until I played the game.
Oh, well, no,
I'm just kidding.
Oh, well, the evil woman in the movie, Xenia Onatopp, kills men by choking them with her thighs, and I feel like Josh could choke people with his thighs.
I would have to be able to jump high enough to get on their shoulders first, but I don't think that's happening.
He could like carry a step stool around.
Be like Mordecai carrying that weird ass cross around that looks like a tribal tattoo. That should be the album art. Let's do that.
What was that period for like a little while where like, and I'm sorry, we're just talking way deep about wrestling now, but when Randy Orton was feuding with Bray Wyatt and he like was draining his power or some shit with a crucifix, but they didn't want to call it a crucifix so they didn't offend anybody, so they were calling it a crucifix.
Oh, yeah.
A crucifix. Dude, the morals
and such weird random shit, like dude, I think in that same feud there was something where like I don't know, he got covered in like blood or something, but they call it like just like gelatinous fluid or like something weird like that.
Yeah, or when he set his house on fire and then hit his pose. That was the funniest shit.
In front, yeah. In the background is just this burning house. Yeah, yeah.
Do you think Chris Benoit hit a pose afterwards?
You know what? Well, it's buried on my Instagram somewhere, but I had his DVD, and there's like this weird, they flash a bunch of silhouettes of him on the main menu of the DVD, and one of them looks like he's choking a child, like legit. Hold on, I'll find it and send it to you guys. But
hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is an interesting show. This is early in the
dynamic.
Morning. It's dynamic.
It is dynamic.
But you should, speaking of dynamic resolutions, December 8th, Geekscape is doing the live stream charity for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and there will be a pre-recorded dynamic resolution video special, the Christmas Cookie Capers. So please dunk along with us, and bring your favorite cookies and favorite or not favorite dippable liquids, and come and join the four of us as we go down a lovely adventure of
Can you give us a preview of what to expect, because we haven't really planned it out yet, so I'm putting you on the spot. So
we're all gonna have the same cookie. Mm-hmm. We're all gonna have the same cavalcade of liquids, and we're gonna dip the cookie in the liquid and review it. So there's gonna, you know, we did milk, we did water. What are we gonna do next? Eggnog, cider, chicken broth.
Eggnog and Oreos would be good. Chicken broth. Ooh.
Yeah, and we're all so
it's got the like sweet and salty, you know.
Yeah, there you go. And then we're all so there's gonna be a group of agreed upon liquids, and we're all gonna be bringing a mystery liquid. But I've already chosen Derek's mystery liquid, so
it's a mystery even to me.
Yeah. So while Josh is pulling that up, you said you had a story, a card hunter story. Card
yeah,
captor,
yeah.
Card so, captor Derakura.
A mystic adventure, yeah. a quest for all time. Yeah, so this game, I think last episode, it was like the day before or a couple of days before that I'd learned about it and got into it or something like that. Does that sound about right? I don't remember. So much has passed.
It looks like he's sneaking up on a fucking child that's to...
terrible. Jesus.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so this Disney Lorcana game, I had just started it the last episode, and it's been a slippery slope since then of like I don't know, I work on the computer generally, so I like will have like windows open like with the GameStop map to see like if they're getting stock in, and that like there's been days where I've just thrown my like Slack status to like be right back, and then I drive to the mall to like, because they only like they'll be gone in an hour or two sort of thing, and there's very few retailers that are selling at MSRP, to the point where like a new set launched the other day, like the second set of the game, and I called around to a bunch of stores to see if they would have any, and many of the like local game stores were having them, but either were like
laughed at you. It's like, what do you think?
Yeah, they were either like holding them back for events, or they were like, yes, we will have some. I was like, oh, cool. What's like, what are the boosters priced at? And they're like, we haven't finalized our pricing yet. I'm like, oh, cool. So you're fucking ripping people off then. Yeah. So I ended up going to wait outside a store based on like they generally have had pretty good pricing in the past, and I called them, they're like, yeah, we only got like one box of boosters or something, but we will have some. And I was like, okay. So I went and waited outside the store for 2 hours that morning, and then when they opened up, their pricing was very like the worst of anyone basically. So like a $7.99 booster pack was like being sold for $16.99, $60 like gift set was being sold for $450. Starter decks that should be $21 were $40, all that sort of stuff. So
was that 21 US or 21 Canadian?
That would be Canadian. Yeah. Yeah.
You sent me a photo at 7:30 my time of you sitting on the floor in a mall playing your retro
RGB 30.
Yeah, Ginsburg Bader 30. That's a nice mall.
That is the, yeah, that mall got like redone recently. So that was facing their food court, which is quite nice, actually. It's kind of like, I don't know.
Did you go to like Auntie Anne's or?
I have no idea what that is.
Crumble Cookie.
You guys don't have Auntie Anne's. Crumble's been popping up all over the place. They're pretty much giant cookies that are essentially cakes.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. What is Auntie Anne's though?
Wait. What do you think Auntie Anne's is?
I'm like, glad I didn't say anything because I was about to, but something in my head said, let's just let him cook. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I want to say
hands
like
up. Don't be Googling. Don't let your fingers Googling, do I'm the walk. Googling.
It just like reminds there's, and I can't picture the name of it, but there's like a pretzel / cookie chain. That's, it might just be Annie's or something, but that I want to say like pretzels.
Look at him.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is it Auntie Anne's or is it Auntie Annie's?
Auntie Anne's.
Okay. That threw me off.
Annie. Isn't there a logo of angel wings and a halo?
See, this sounds familiar. Yeah, maybe. This sounds familiar. Don't they have like a...
Yeah, their logo is a pretzel with like a halo around it.
Isn't that like one of the kiosks that's at like the San Diego Convention Center all the time? Is like their cookies and pretzels?
They're often at standees, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They have cookies?
Yeah, so the... there has been a bit of a restock, so I did manage to one day GameStop essentially got in some stock. I drove there. They had just received them, and you know, I'm like, you got any of that and them Disney cards? And they're like, yeah, we just got them. And I'm like, you know, they had online, it was like 3 packs per person sort of thing. And I'm like, okay, like,
all right, can you stand up and like go to your doorway and just reenact going into the GameStop and then going up to the clerk?
No, I'm not going to do that. you know, I knew that there was a three pack limit, but I didn't want them to know that I knew that. So I'm like, I will grab some. And then they're like, okay, how many? I was like, how many can I get? And she was like, I think 5. And I was like, okay, I'll get 5.
Wow.
So
Derek, that's so not like you to be like I mean, little devious.
That wasn't devious. That was just like I wasn't revealing my whole hand at once.
It's not Derek's responsibility to hold up their own policy,
right? Right.
Yeah, but I also like my experience with Derek talking to people.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better. So I buy my 5 packs. This is like, and I didn't text, like, this was like, oh, I like feel like this is a stupid story, and I was like gonna text it, but then I was like, this is so out of character for me that I feel like it's worth speaking about. So I go home. Michaela and I've been playing together and like collecting them together, and so whenever like I have been successful in getting any boosters, it's like I have to wait for her to get home before I can open them, and it's so hard. But it's just the like that was like when I was in, was like opening your first pack, because like, and the way that the packs are all organized the same, so you go through your like, they're all, it's all like 6 or however many commons, and then the uncommons, and then there's 2 rares or higher, and then there's the shiny behind that. So it's like just the like flow of going through the pack and then seeing what you're getting at the end is like,
wasn't there some guy in Mexico, was it Mexico, that was like stealing the press sheets of like Pokemon shinies or something?
Oh, probably
like earlier this year.
I don't remember. I didn't hear that.
I gotta consult. Oh, I almost closed the browser. yeah.
So anyways, I go home later in the day. I end up needing to go back to the mall for some reason.
This is the same day.
This is like right at the end of the day though. And I'm like, well, I wonder if they have any left at this point. Cause at this point the map had changed like red, but I didn't know if that meant completely out or like there's not enough.
Is this a Lorcana based map?
No. It's just whatever product on GameStop you can.
Oh, okay.
Like, check store availability sort of thing. And then, so I call the store while I'm like basically outside of it. And I was like wondering if you have any of the Lorcana in stock, and I can hear it's the same person that helped me. And I was like, shit. Okay. And they're like, well, we have 1 pack left. And I was like, okay. And then I walk by the store to make sure it's the same person and I can't just walk in and buy it. And I was like, shit. And then I went about my business in the mall and I was like, you know what? I bet I can. I end up like zipping up my hood, putting my hood on. I end up taking my glasses off, which I cannot see without. So I'm now glassesless, and I walk into the store, and I was like, I called and you said you had one pack of Lorcana left. And I'm talking to the same person that helped me that morning, basically. And they're like, and then they sold it to me, but I'm like walking out, and I like put on my glasses, and I was like, that is like, actually when I was walking in, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? This is very out of character for me. You know, when I fall, man, I fall fast and hard.
Those cards make you do some crazy shit.
Right, right. Dude, so
I was going to make the joke, like, put on a fake mustache and, like, get on the shoulders of another man and walk in and be like, hello, one more Lorcana.
And, as I'm walking up, I'm like, do I change my voice? Like, will she remember what I sound like? I have, you know, I'm this, like, monotone tall dude, so... I did not change the voice though. And then I think
What did your Apple Watch say for your heart rate?
Right. It was probably, very high. I was probably getting like warnings. Like, seek medical attention. So that is how fast and it's so weird because I don't even like care really about Disney stuff. Like, I love Pixar movies. The Disney movies, a lot of them as they come out, I see them or I don't, and I, you know, don't really care or think about them. I think why this game has been so attractive is it's like more accessible in terms of playing. So like when we grabbed starter decks a couple weeks ago, like Michaela also really liked the game, which she often struggles with games that have like a lot of instructions or like a lot of mechanics, and it's just simpler. And you know,
it sounds like Logan.
we're keeping track of like. We're keeping track of like wins and stuff too. And like, she's beaten me more than I've beaten her sort of thing. So, that's probably helping as well. But, it almost like it brings me back to like the Amiibo days of like trying to find Amiibos and like waiting outside of Toys R Us and shit.
$15,000 for this Rem in a bikini photo. What is this game for? Oh, is this for that game where it's like a bunch of different, it's like the Shonen Jump, like card battle game.
Pretty much, yeah. I was thinking, can sell that card and get all the cards that Derek will ever want. or maybe like two boxes.
There you go, yeah. And then, I've bought a lot of packs in the past couple weeks and done, even like I've met someone outside a grocery store the other day to like trade a couple things, and I'm like, this is very weird.
Like in the alley?
Yeah. Oh, and like, yeah, that store. First week went, no, like outside. Yeah. Yeah. And then like the first week I like met someone in a random alley in like Surrey to like, they had passed me like a brown bag and I passed them like $100 sort of thing. It's very fun though. It's very fun. I got a binder, you know, to put the cards in and
full of women.
Binders full of women and princesses and, you know, the odd prince as well. But I'm like five. I think
that
five.
That sounds like a Disney title movie. The Odd Prince as well.
Yeah, I'm like five cards out from like having at least one of each of the first set now, which like 15 days ago is the day I learned that the game existed. So that seems like pretty intense, but it's a lot of fun.
How far is Surrey from Vancouver? It looks like it's just across the river.
I live in Coquitlam, so I live closer to Surrey than that. But I mean,
you don't even live in Vancouver.
It's considered the greater Vancouver area. Yeah,
dude, you're at the northmost like part.
Holy shit!
I thought you lived in Vancouver this entire time, and you lived in the fucking suburbs outside city. Like,
technically, I'm in like Burquitlam, so it's the line between Burnaby and Coquitlam. And so
you're not even on the line between Vancouver and
I'm like, it's like a 20 minute drive to Vancouver.
You've been lying to me your whole life.
My whole life.
Dude, Vancouver. I don't know,
it was like a 5 minute train ride. I feel like it's close enough.
Oh, dude, but trains go fast. Like,
I mean, they're not bullet trains, they're like normal.
I'm a big fan of trains.
Yeah, so you guys should try this game. It's a lot of fun.
I'm like I wouldn't call myself a big Disney person, but there's a couple like specific Disney franchises that I'm that I'm really into, and I'm afraid that if I started, then that would just be the beginning of the end.
In terms of like needing to get it all. Sorry,
And especially since I'm not working right now, I'm like,
there goes
my savings.
Yeah, Michaela like sat me down the other day, and she was like, she's like, I just want to talk about finances.
She surprised you with a group of your closest friends and family, right. And we're like, we need to talk.
And she's like, I just want to see, like, you know, I know that you like. She's like, I make more money than you and have the ability to pick up extra shifts, and you do not. And so, not as like a.
Listen here, you poor piece of shit. I make more money than you.
No, it was like she's like, if I choose to make a large purchase, I can just like pick up a overtime shift and pay for it, and you don't have that ability. So she's like,
a poor piece of shit.
You like bought a computer and recently, and you're still paying for your Taylor Swift ticket and blah blah blah.
Wait, you're still paying for your Taylor Swift ticket?
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
My God, like that makes me wonder how much it was. That was months ago.
I saw the dollar amount.
Yeah, I mean, it's been long enough. I think I am far enough removed from it that, I mean, it was like, it wasn't that bad. How much would you guess, Josh? How much would you pay?
Well, if it's months, I would say a couple thousand at least.
Yeah, it was like, I think Canadian, it was about $2,200 for.
Oh, shit. I was going to say 2000. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's... Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was higher than that. I thought it was like 3,600.
For two. For I think it was like 36 US for two tickets. Was what it was. But yeah, I just threw it on a balance transfer, 0%, and I'm working it down. You know?
The way my account is set up, like it's everything's in a savings.
My finance guy was like, "Treat yourself, yeah, live your life."
Your finance guy is you with a hoodie up and your glasses off.
he can't read the finances in order to give me good advice. So, yeah, but she was like, you know, you've gone hard into this game, and you know, I like how much have we been spending on it, sort of thing. We're also at the point where we're splitting all of it because she's into it, so that makes it more affordable, which is great. But she's like, at some point, if you know, I might be like, I'm out, and then it's on, you know, but we haven't hit that point yet. So, and the other night, you know, we got a few packs in the mail. And Michaela opened up her first Enchanted Rare, which are like the rarest cards in the game. And they're not like considered part of the regular set. They're like alternate art versions of cards that are in the set. But like average is like one out of every like 96 booster packs or something. So she opened one of those, and then we sold it for like $160. So it'll fund a little bit more cards. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's a fun game. It's great for all ages. You got kids, they probably like Disney. You know, pick up a couple starter packs. Apparently it's more available in the US, especially those of you that are near Disney stores, which I was like, I saw their tweet about like, oh, it's now available at all Disney retail stores. And I was like, shit, we have one of those, but they shut them all down in Canada, or in Vancouver anyway.
I was going to say, Disney stores don't exist here anymore either. They shut them all down in 2020.
Yeah. I did see I saw some tweets of the like line outside of downtown Disney on Thursday night, I guess it would have been, and it was like pretty intense. But so second set's out now, you know, 0 out of 204 right now. So
Derek was lamenting being in Canada, and there was a buy happening Monday morning, so I offered to be like, all right, you know what, like I'll hop on, I'll use my American credit card, and like I'll do you a favor. And he's like, were you serious about that? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it for you. And he sends me this fucking, like...
What do you expect from me, though? I'm going to give you all the details I think you need and 40 of them that you don't.
I immediately saw that text come in and I went, oh, no. I audibly went, oh, no. And then he told me, like, oh, yeah, it's 9 a.m. It's 9 a.m. Or, no, like, 7 a.m., like, whatever. It's 5 a.m. Alaska time. And I was like, damn. Like, I barely got up at – well, I went to bed at 2 a.m., so granted
– You could just stay up.
No, I have work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I have to go out, you know. I make more money than you poor piece of shit. That was a joke. But and then he goes and asks, and I was like, hey, how much am I going to be needing to set aside for you? And you're like, well, $0, but temporarily it's going to cost $400. And I was like, dude, I have $200 that I can spend because I have a finance guy breathing down my neck.
But that's not even how credit cards work, Shane. It's, you know, 21-day grace period before you would incur any interest, you know?
You know how credit cards do. Credit cards work by not using more than 25% of the limit and paying it off in full every month.
Well, do you think I do that? I think I'm still.
You're the one with the finance guy.
Yeah, and then he sees me like, dude, what are you doing? I think I'm still paying off those drinks at Jumbo's that I got for you.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Well, no, you didn't have to drive you home.
Yeah, that's fair.
So what's the most, besides like the thrill of card collecting, what do you like about this?
I mean, the game's really fun. And like, it's
actually okay.
Yeah. And it's like, I think I wouldn't be as into it if Michaela wasn't enjoying it. Cause like basically like every night almost she's like, do you want to play cards sort of thing? So, also it's like, and I think she's more interested into it inherently because it is a bit more accessible play wise, but also because it's funny, it's more accessible play wise, but less accessible because it's fucking hard to find. Also, like, you know, if you're getting a booster and opening packs of something, like, and it's just random shit that you have no idea about or aren't connected with at all, like, that's less exciting, but like seeing characters and things or actions like right from the movies sort of thing, like even if she's not a huge fan, like it still is more of a connection than you would have otherwise sort of thing. So
call me when they have a Rocketeer themed deck.
Will do. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
and they're gonna have to like, know eventually, you would think, right?
It's kind of like the way that the like story of the game is working, it kind of allows for like endless like versions of different characters. So there's some that are like I think, can't remember if it's like Floodborn or Storyborn or what, but they're like versions of the characters that haven't existed. Yeah, that's like what the second set is about, and it's I don't know the story of it yet, but
is that like a biblical flood or like a Halo flood?
It's like a Mickey Mouse flood of rats, you know.
Plague's Tail.
Willard.
Oh yeah, like it's the marketing of it, I think, is also like, I don't know, now like we're playing with these cards, and then the other night Michael's like, let's watch a Disney movie, and I'm like, I don't think you've ever asked that, but okay. And then we started watching Moana, which I'd never seen. It's pretty wonderful. But it's so funny, like the only knowledge of Moana I have coming from these cards. And same with like her for the most part. And so then everything that comes on screen is like, it's like the card. And like,
it's crazy. Like, they made all these movies after these cards.
I know, right? From the card to the screen. But like seeing that has just been
hilarious. That sounds like a catchphrase. That sounds like a catchphrase for like some kid's toy. Like oh,
yeah.
Do you guys remember Scanners?
I was just going to say like Scanners. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was scanners was like you had a barcode scanner in it, and every barcode, because it's just random numbers, would generate like a different monster. And so you could go to the grocery store and like scan all these things and like get all these different creatures. And I think you could battle with them and stuff.
Yeah,
like that too.
It was like the old Digimon. Like,
yeah, it felt like Digimon, but with like a real world element as well.
Yeah, and the commercial was like monsters were hiding in the grocery store. Yes,
right. That was pretty cool. That was ahead of its time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, even like the start, like because the start of Moana is like the Disney Animation Studios logo at the time is like the Steamboat Willie Mickey, and I was like, oh, it's just like the card. They took that from the card. I don't know. It's very fun. It's a fun game.
He comes public domain soon, like, and they can't, like, the government's like, oh, really? Listen, we're not letting you renew.
Yeah. Mickey like, Mouse or Steamboat? They're like that specific.
I think Mickey Mouse.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, and they're like, listen. He's been around for 95 years. Like, public domain is like, yeah. What, 30, 50?
And so we'll be able to, so there'll be just off-brand Lorcana is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, Mickey Mouse only, but
that's fine.
I think.
Can I collect it in booster packs? Because I mean,
there's, I went looking for Lorcana stuff, because I wanted to get like an Elsa playmat and use it as a mouse pad.
Oh yeah, there is. I don't think there is an Elsa playmat yet. There's only like five.
There are on Etsy.
Oh sure, sure.
But there's also proxies that people make on Etsy. So why don't you go buy the proxies?
Because I don't get to open booster packs.
I mean, you could put it in some cellophane.
That sounds awful. I don't know. It's the hunt. The hunt is the fun part, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I need to order another binder for set two, you know?
I was out last night and I was hanging out with my friend Grant, and we were talking about, he was like, dude, can I buy your PlayStation? Last of Us is getting a remake. And and then he's like, yo, did you check out that bullshit Silent Hill 2 thing that ended up just be like a playable movie? And I was like, dude, do I ever?
Have either of you guys checked that out yet?
No.
No, I downloaded it and then did not open it. And then
I forgot it was coming out. And then I saw news stories about how it was awful. So then I just went back to pretending it didn't exist.
But then I told him the thing that like basically put my hands up in the air at that Comic-Con event was the guy, like the whole thing, once it's gone, it's gone. Like it's going to be deleted forever, blah, blah, blah. And someone asked like, yo, are you guys going to put this on Blu-ray so we can like watch it? And then he's like, well, you know, once it's done, we're going to do a new game plus and you get to play the game again. But the options that were voted on before are grayed out, so you have to choose something else. And Derek leans over and goes like, then what's the point of right. Of everything? Like,
then just release it like a fucking Telltale game and like let us go through it on our own. I think I even saw whatever Sony is now bundling, like some sort of movie service with PlayStation Plus. I can't remember what it's called, but I even got an email about it the other day, and it said something about you can like even just like watching the cutscenes from this thing, I think, are part of that service for some reason. So, yeah, the whole, I don't know. I was like mildly excited for it, just based on it being like, we're really excited about Silent Hill, and obviously there's so much Silent Hill stuff coming out now. And then I mean, hearing them talk about it during the panel that we went to, Shane, was also like it seems like they're obviously also trying to sell it, but I don't know. And then it just seems like it's a mess of microtransactions, which don't make sense for basically a playable movie. Mm-hmm. Although I guess like the more you buy, the more sway you have in terms of the choices that are made and stuff like that. I don't know.
All I could think about was there's this famous press conference from Will.i.am when he tried to release a smartwatch a number of years ago called the Pulse, and but it was like a cell phone built in, and it was all these really weird ideas like if it'll detect your mood, and if you're feeling sad, it'll call your mom so you can like talk to her and shit like that. And he kept going, like someone asked him like, so what are your favorite features of the phone? And he goes, first one, it's not a phone. And so the whole time I'm watching this dude try to sell us on this Silent Hill game, like, one, it's not a game. I need to turn my heat on.
Wait.
What is it? I thought his feed froze. I don't know what's going on.
I had to turn my heat on. It's a little chilly in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, so.
Those Alaskan winners.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Alaskan winters.
Speaking of winter, it was like a brisk 50 yesterday.
It was one.
A brisk American. 55.
There was somebody on the Anchorage, Alaska subreddit that was they posted like, how can the homeless survive in this weather? And their post was like, I have to put on like a shirt and a hoodie and a jacket and double socks. And like, I was walking down the street and I saw an alley with two men huddled up together. How do the homeless survive in here? And I just thought, wow, you're brand new to Anchorage. Okay, listen, someone who just moved from Portland, like new resident to Alaska, finally discovers the homeless problem. And then they're like, is this restaurant downtown racist? I'm like, whoa, you are definitely new.
Because the answer is yes.
Yeah. But what did I want to talk about? I got the bag. I scored the bag. I secured the bag.
Yes.
I forgot.
When did you, because I feel like you were flip-flopping. You're like, I'm not going to get it, but I want it. And then you were just, then I didn't hear anything until the order had been placed.
The Steam Deck OLED came out, and I really wanted it. And Gamers Nexus did a teardown of it where they took it apart, like completely, mm-hmm. and compared to every single component. And they're like, hey, this is more than just an OLED screen. Mm-hmm. Like the motherboard is completely redone. The die itself is smaller and rotated, and the memory's faster. But like I woke up and I had received the direct deposit, and I'm sitting there like, can't do it. Can't justify it. Like I was leading up to it, talking to my financial guy, like, listen, can I do it? And he's like, no. Like you didn't have a job all summer. Like, no, you can't. And so I woke up.
But now you do. So treat yourself.
And I'm sitting there staring at the buy now button. And I'm like.
Also, they handled it very well in terms of like the way they rolled it out, because obviously they knew people were going to be trying to get it, and resellers are such a huge thing these days. But it was like they had strict terms of like one per account. Mm-hmm. Account has to have had a paid purchase before November 2023. All of these sort of things in terms of like making it so actual people that want them can get them, instead of people just trying to hoard them to sell them for more.
And they have to have like more back end, like notification, like they have to have more stuff that they're looking at before they'll let an account, because I wanted the limited edition, mm-hmm. one, and that had sold out. Unfortunately, it's still in stock, the limited edition one. Yeah,
which I saw like the day of, like you saw the like eBay prices people were asking, and then they just would slowly fall and fall and fall, which is hilarious, because I think they even. I don't know. It went sold out for a while, and then it came back into stock, which is hilarious, because I almost feel like that's deliberate. Like, fuck you, resellers.
I was talking to my financial guy, and I was like, what I said? I'm sending him screenshots, and I'm like, hey, I was like, can I do this? Can I do this? Like, no. Like, I'm done. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Derek and Josh are in a group chat and they're fucking me up. And I sent him a screenshot of you two, and he went, holy shit.
What did I say? I don't even remember.
They're like you were trying to like tell me like, oh, just like give your finance guy your old Steam Deck, you know, like he's a pawn shop or something. And he's like, holy shit. But I secured the bag. I begged my father, like, listen, I need this. And my dad was like, all right, I'll get the credit card. I was like, yo, let's go. I'm 34. Let's fucking go.
It's like when I had to beg to get knockoff Beyblades on eBay.
Yeah. I secured the bag, I had texted the group just, what did I say? I said, ladies and gentlemen, we got them. Referencing the Osama bin Laden or whatever.
I did not get that right.
Oh, and I sent that, and like minutes go by, and I'm like, damn, nobody, no one's gonna be like, who's him? What'd you get? What do you mean? So I had to send the screenshot of order confirmed, and Derek was the most supportive and excited. He's like, holy shit, that's amazing. Like,
Also, I didn't know that the limited edition was still in stock, and now I'm like twitching a little bit.
I didn't even know there was a limited edition.
Yeah, it's like translucent, and it's got different like colored caps and buttons, and looks pretty sweet.
Yeah,
and I love OLEDs, so
yeah, I'm really and so I knew that it was going to be a little bit, you know. I saw the Linus Tech Tips video, which was kind of a surface level look at it. And they said, Yeah, we tested these games, and you know, even though they said it's not an upgrade, like we're getting better performance in these games.
I think because since it's more efficient, it doesn't need to throttle as much.
Yeah, and the process of the, since it's a 6 nanometer chip process, so it's more efficient, like you said. But when Gamers Nexus like tore it apart, and they had the two motherboards side by side, and like, look, there's like half the power delivery is missing, and it's over here, and so there's not going to be that many hotspots. And like we talked with Valve engineers, and they spent a lot of time like moving the RAM around so that I could get the shortest amount of traces to the. And I was like, "Fuck, I want this," because I finally, so I traveled for work for the first time, and I ran snow, the whole time, and Steam Deck on a plane, that's a fucking game changer. I'm gonna be on a plane, 4 times a month. So, just sitting there with the Steam Deck, you know, sitting there playing SnowRunner. If I don't have seat power, which I didn't for one of the trips, I lock it at 30 frames per second, which, you know, it's 30
FPS. Like a slow-paced game. So.
Yeah. But I played the game all the way through from Seattle to Anchorage. But secured the bag, delivery in 1 to 2 weeks. Which is sucks because the regular non-special edition one is like shipping in like 2 days. So I'm sitting here like, why did I spend the extra $30?
Because you wanted the translucency.
Yeah, I wanted the translucency. Yeah. I wanted the limited edition. I want the
that makes it so tough. I feel like they're smart doing that too, because that makes it so tough in terms of like, because the best buy was always just buy the 64 gig and put in your own storage.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. It was like bought a used 64 gig and just bought storage. But now like them separating it like that, like this one having the different casing, and obviously, and it's got like the etched like anti-glare display as well.
It's got orange accents.
Yeah. Yeah. And the accent colors that I care less about, but translucent casing I'm all for. So,
yeah. I have an extra Steam Deck. And Josh, do you want a Steam Deck?
To see how it tastes when it's dipped in water.
that's the main event for the Christmas special.
Yeah, dip the Steam before I get the limited edition one, right before I go get on a plane. I'm very excited. I'm very, very happy that my father, I was able to emotionally manipulate him into it, because I was sitting
and
I was,
like, did your father buy, he purchased it for you, or you needed to use his credit card and you will pay for it?
No, he just
straight, you're like, hey, can you just spend $700 on me on this random Tuesday? He was like, okay, son.
I mean, it wasn't that, it took me some time of convincing, but I was standing,
I really want it.
He was like, this reminds me of that time when we were in Walmart and you came up to me with a green Power Ranger, and you're like, hey dad, I need to get this. And you're like, oh, we don't need that, son. And you went, but dad, you don't understand, I need this. And he's like, oh, if you need it, we must get it then.
Damn.
But I was,
did you tell him I need one too?
He doesn't like you.
Oh
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. But I was standing in the living room and I'm like, you know, it'd be really nice if you just helped me out. Cause you know, there's all those like countless times that I've just like, you know, got you stuff without asking for it. And I put my hand on top of the TV he was watching. And I was like, yeah, you know, just like, and I'm stroking the top of like, yeah, just like, you know, just stuff that I gave you. And then I started to tap on the computer he was using. And I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, you know. And then I started like gesturing about like the flight controls that I bought him. And he was just like looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing?
You didn't read the asterisk on these gifts I gave you.
I was like, yeah, I mean, I haven't had a Christmas gift in like the last like,
you know, I scratched your back a bunch and, you know, my back's a little itchy right now. I need someone, I need some of that icy hot.
Yeah. Derek's not here to, or the cooling heat, but, yeah, I got it, secured the bag, excited. I'll have an extra Steam Deck. I asked someone if they wanted it and they said no, but I'll take your PlayStation because it's the Last of Us 2 remake is coming out.
Josh finished it.
um, I'm going to send you a photo. This was a photo that Logan sent me, and I really wish he was here, but he's had a stressful week. This is what Logan and I did. If it's sending. It may not send, or it may not tell me it's sent. So let me know if you got the text. There you go. Okay, it squirted out.
The James Bond pinball?
No, that hat, oh. I took that last night. Oh. That was the pinball we played at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. It was at the bar that it was at.
What is this? Oh, you played SnowRunner with Logan.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So it was on sale on the PlayStation Network. The year
I got confused and thought this was your screen at first, Shane. And I was like, when the fuck did you play Spider-Man? But
right. both Spider-Mans. But I was like, yo, dude, if I get you SnowRunner, will you play with me? He's like, fuck it, we ball. And so I was like, can I just gift you a game? And he's like, I don't know. PlayStation makes it really difficult. They have a third party service called Cash that they use called Cash Star, where you can buy gift cards through
you can't just like buy a code like you can for like Xbox and stuff, right?
Yeah,
I've seen that. Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and like the first gift card like failed, like they charged me and they said like, oh sorry, like your gift card's created, the order's on its way, sorry, we had to cancel it. And I was like, what's going on? The first time then Bank of America is like, yo, this is fraudulent. Did you do this? I'm like, of course, a website called like giftcards.com pops is fraudulent.
Yeah. I went through that last week when I was buying Turkish iTunes gift cards from Turgame.
Why?
Because if you subscribe to Disney Plus from Turkey, it only costs $30 Canadian a year. And so you buy the Turkish gift cards to fund the Turkish iTunes account, and then you subscribe to the Turkish Disney Plus, and then you get the Canadian Disney Plus content because you're in Canada. And then you can afford more Disney cards.
that seems illegal, like international money wire fraud illegal. Yeah, I could see like suddenly trying to buy iTunes gift cards in Turkey, because in America, that's a big like telephone scam.
Oh, here too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, or like the office like email, like, I'm in a meeting and I can't call you. Can you send me some iTunes cards?
Yeah.
as you do at the office.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Sent him the gift card. He bought SnowRunner. And I was like, careful when you go to Alaska for the tutorial. Don't stay there. And then that prompted me to re-listen to the Game Passengers episode where we played it. We should play SnowRunner again, Derek.
At some point, I try it again. Yeah.
Yeah, you should. Josh, you should join too. If all four of us
is it four player?
It's four player. I think six player co-op. Oh, wow.
Does it have a does it have the Canadian protest mode multiplayer?
the freedom convoy.
Yeah, because we were talking about the convoy when we were playing. We talked about conspiracy theories, but so Logan couldn't do co-op until he got to the garage, and he was like clicking through stuff, and we were on Discord. And he went, "Yo, wait a second, are these tutorials important?" And I was like, "Well, why would he? What do you mean? Like they tell you what to do, like how to play?" He's like, "Oh shit, I can't read, so I've just been clicking through them." And I'm like, "Oh no, you're fucked." So I walked him through like the first couple of missions, but the way I did it was, "Hey, let me get on my PlayStation and like you can do streaming to me."
So he
did PlayStation streaming, but when he did that, it kicked him off of Discord. So the voice chat went to the PlayStation, but I didn't have a headset plugged in. So I was talking to him through my controller and listening to him through the speaker in the controller.
Just like real truckers do.
Yeah, I was holding it to my head like a phone. And then I was like, wait, I can just unplug my headset here and plug it in there. And I plugged it in like, can you hear me now? He's like, oh, dude, that's world better. Like, it sounded like you were talking to me through a microwave last time. But it's, you know, going back to the start and... like I know, like I had done it, and I was like, "Oh, we need to go do this." And I was explaining everything, and that he said something that I would never play this game on my own, but playing it with you and playing it with friends is very enjoyable. He said something to the effect of, "Like it's a really like chill game that you can sit and just like talk to your bros while you're playing."
About conspiracy theories.
Like we were talking about all sorts of stuff. And he's like, "Hey, well, when we're playing Payday of Call of Duty, we can't really talk, but this is like, we're just like, you know, trudging through the mud." And I really wish he was here, but we use Discord to chat, and there's a bot that we have in the Discord where you can play music through. Derek, you might remember, like at the very beginning of the game, we're going up those like switchback mountains to get that like, upgrade part, and I don't know what it was, but we got to like this like difficult part and we kept failing and to get through these rocks and kept rolling down the hill, and he's like, "This is like the most like redneck like game ever." So he said it was redneck Death Stranding. And which is what you said, Derek.
Did I?
Yeah. And so he opens up the bot in Discord and goes to like have it play a song, and he wanted it to play that song Ram Ranch, which is like that like deep fried meme song where it's like 18 naked cowboys sucking cock down at Ram Ranch. Hot cowboy, like that's the meme. But he typed in Ram Ranch, but it pulled up like a professional cover of the song, and it just, I'm like, wait, is this a cover? And we're just cracking up, and I'm trying to pull him out of a fucking ditch, and like my Hummer like bounced off a tree and it's nose down in the mud, like the most unbelievable way. He later told me he was laughing so hard he woke his girlfriend up from the other side of the house. But it is. He's like, "Dude, this reminds me of like the worst night, the second worst night I ever had Ubering." And he was telling me about like the Uber GPS, like sending him down a dirt road, and he got his Prius stuck. And then, he saw another Uber coming down the road, and he's like waving his arms. And the guy's
stop. Oh my God,
dude, he's like, "You're an Uber, right? I am too. Like you're trying to go to that wedding. It's not down there. Like, trust me." But it's SnowRunner is like a interesting puzzle game, because you know it's like, hey, there's a truck in the mud, figure out how to get it out. And it's just it's like, I've known Logan a while, like we've talked and played games, but I feel like we really connected when you're just like
stuck in the mud together.
Stuck in the mud. So I humbly request that you two fire up Game Pass, get SnowRunner. We'll do a little four-player snow running. It's all crossplay, and I genuinely think y'all would like it as a group.
It is a Derek game.
I learned something about Derek recently. I said, like, hey, don't you want to like play Payday? He's like, oh, I need to like prep myself. And I'm like, prep yourself? Like, what do you mean? And you said you had like a really tough day at work, and you just couldn't like have the mental energy. I was like, what? I'm mentally exhausting? Me? I'm not mentally exhausting. It might be a Derek game, but it might be a solo Derek game. I did play one other game. I'm going to send you a link to it, and I want you guys to click on it and see. I played it and I beat it. So I need you both to click on that link.
Oh my God. I was going to say, do I need to have like save search on or something? But this is worse than I meant.
This looks like a Shane game.
share with our fans.
URL is alexjonesgame.com, and I don't think I need to say anything else. There's a picture of it looks like a Newgrounds. It's like a Newgrounds type thing. It looks like there's a picture of a muscular Alex Jones that I only could say is Alex Jones because it says Alex Jones above it. Cause it doesn't really look like him holding some sort of assault rifle or assault rifle style firearm. And apparently it's the official Alex Jones video game, and it costs $17.76 for America.
I would have thought the official Alex Jones game would have been like a Phoenix Wright one of trying to get him out of his lawsuit.
I want you to look at what the original price of it was, and what it was marked down to.
So the original price was $20.24, and now it's $17.76.
Yeah.
Every day the deep state sues, lies, defames, and kills law-abiding patriots who threaten their power. So you got to join Alex Jones and his allies. Oh my God! But defeat the big tech cucks and more. Is this a real thing?
Yeah. I bought it and I played it. I saw the trailer on Telegram and I was like, yo, this is dumb. Let's go.
Is this like a skin of hatred?
No, it's a Metal Slug skin.
It looks like this would be on Newgrounds or something.
It is a Metal Slug skin. I beat it in like one try, but it's not very in depth, but it's so fucking funny, like how in your face it is. Like there's each level has an opening narration from Alex Jones. In the first level, you're going to a pharmaceutical lab that is testing on beagle puppies, and it's called the Big Pharma Mad Vaccine Lab. And this is I took a screenshot because I was laughing so hard at how ridiculous this is. And it says, little Dr. Fuker has hatched a plan to turn everyone into a gay frog by injecting you with an mRNA LGBTQ tadpole technology vaccine that depletes your testosterone and turns you into a rainbow amphibian. And you go through the level and you shoot doctors with big needles and gay frogs. And
so it's just like The Last of Us.
The mini boss on that level is Bill Gates throwing wads of money at you, and then you kill Dr. Fuker, not Dr. Fauci, but Dr. Fuker. And then he like isn't a big mech, but he falls out of the mech, but then all the beagles get loose and go tear him apart. And I'm like, damn, this is kind of fucking brutal. The next level is San Francisco, because you're going to fight the big tech lizard nerd. And it was really funny because there was all these like big fat guys that were in cages that had MAGA hats on, and it said like MAGA 2024 on it, and they were in the big tech prison. Oh my gosh. But they only made like a single sprite of them, so when they're facing the other direction, the words on their shirt are backwards. And I was like, wait, what is it? I was like, oh, it's Adam? Like, what?
Adam.
But it is, there's one level. He gets, there's parts of the level where allies show up. So in the San Francisco level, you get onto a buff centaur that is supposed to be Joe Rogan. Another level, Donald Trump comes down with laser eyes and shoots the gay frogs. And then one level, this is so dumb. One level, Tucker Carlson shows up and throws bow ties at people. It's so dumb. You go to Epstein Island and fight Bill Clinton, who's shooting Majora's Mask moons out of a saxophone. You kill Castro Jr. In Canada at the actual trucker protest. So,
does Larry Sinclair ever show up? I might buy it. I might buy it if Larry Sinclair shows up.
No. But then you go to Davos at the end and fight. Oh God, who's that guy that everyone's like, oh, his money's in everything.
George Soros.
Yeah, you fight George Soros, and then you fight the Klaus Schwab or whatever from the World Economic Forum, and it's a competent, like, Metal Slug clone, but you're just putting an Alex Jones skin on an already made game. I'm sitting there, like, there's only three weapons. I'm like, man, I wish the weapon selection was a little bit more diverse in the Alex Jones game. But
you mean they didn't have gameplay variety in mind to put this together?
I'm like, dude, like I'm skipping lunch for a couple days to afford this game for the week. Some of the, like, the level, trucker showdown in Canada. Castro Jr. is on the loose trying to force experimental shots while looking like a fruitcake. Like, this is, and the whole time Alex Jones is, like, spouting, like, one-liners, and they're like pretty, they're like on the nose, like, they're turning the frogs gay, or like 9/11 was an inside job, like the moon landing was fake. And then out of nowhere, he's like, Paul McCartney died 50 years ago, he's not real. I was like, oh, that seems really different than the other ones that you were spouting. The one-ups, the life system, are little bottles of super male vitality.
Oh my gosh.
which is the testosterone he sells on Infowars.com. It's so dumb. It is so dumb. But I
Shane's game of the year.
Dude, I made a speedrun.com account. Oh my God. And once 7 days hits and I'm allowed to submit a game to
the world record.
I'm going to have the world record in Alex Jones game. When I go to, I'm going to go to PAX Boston this year and be like, hey, I have a world record speedrun game. Can I play it at the speedrunning panels? it's dumb. It's really dumb. But yeah, you can actually hit the fire button too fast and it'll actually slow down. And I'm like thinking, damn, the Alex Jones game isn't optimized for quick gameplay. But that's it. SnowRunner.
It sounds like The Room is still the best, like, flash game to come out. That was like a skin of something else.
The Red Room? Was it
Tommy Wiseau movie? Someone made a little, like, flash text adventure game with it that actually manages to, like, fill in plot holes that weren't addressed in the movie. It was actually halfway decent for what it was.
Oh shit. Oh, here it is. The Room tribute. Is that it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Oh. Huh. I'll have to check that out. Do you have to pay? Do you have to pay $17.76?
No, it was free. They had a little bit more respect for the audience.
And the worst part about the Alex Jones game was you have to make an account on the website.
Oh my gosh!
So I used
you're allowed to get it.
So I well, that's when you buy it.
Yeah,
but you have to play it in your web browser. It's a WebGL game.
Wait, like, so you have to pay for it, and it's a web browser game?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I was like, dude. And then it wasn't working very well in one of my browsers that's super locked down. So I went to another browser that I don't use for anything, and it played like perfectly. But I have an account, but my save progression doesn't stay on the account. It just stays in your browser cookies. Gosh. I'm like, dude, how do I refund this? Like, do I call Bank of America? Like, listen, I need to charge that back. But that's it. Alex Jones and SnowRunner. What do you guys got? What do you got?
Josh,
what
your
do you
list got, looks Josh? A lot less redneck. Why don't you talk about what you've been playing?
Alan Wake's
pretty redneck.
He has a game called Hades and Gungrave Gore, which I feel like Gungrave has been popping up a lot lately. But didn't it come out like 5 years ago or something?
Well, there was a new one that came out about a year ago, and I actually downloaded it a few months ago, and I never had time to play it, but then it was listed for leaving Game Pass, so I was like, okay, now's the time to play it. But yeah, it was like a PS2 game, a really old PS2 game that wasn't the greatest even back when it came out. It's just like a mindless action shooter from 2002, and it's still a mindless shooter from 2002. But for whatever reason, it's made by, like, the character designs and the story. Like, the little bit of story that the original game had was done by the guy who made Trigun. And
yeah, it was an anime first.
Was it an anime first? I thought it was a game first, and then the anime expanded on the game, and the anime actually ended up being really good. But I'm going to double check real quick to make sure.
Because I always knew that it was an anime, because when back in the day, me and my friend were really into edgy anime, so, like, Elfin Lied, Gungrave. I can't think of any. Like, we were just into, like, edgy anime, but there was somebody made a kit to turn a Tokyo Marui Glock airsoft pistol into the Gungrave pistols. So that's, I was like, dude, I'm gonna get this and run around the fucking airsoft field with this giant cross-shaped gun. So,
but yeah, it looks like the game came out in 2000. The original game came out in 2002, and the anime came out in 2003. So they were probably being developed next to each other.
But
surprisingly, the anime, it's legit one of my favorite animes ever. It was way better than it had any right to be.
Yeah.
But it's like the first half of the anime is its own, like, original story that sets up everyone's backstory. And then the second half of the anime is basically just a video game adaptation, which retells everything that happens in the game. But the anime had a really good ending that kind of was it was pretty final. Like, they really couldn't go anywhere from there. But the game had its own ending, which is why we're still getting Gungrave games in 2023. But, but yeah, I just played it.
I could have sworn this was, like, at least announced, like, a number of years ago.
There's four games altogether, I think, but one of them's like a VR game that's non-canon, so they don't really, like, it's not really counted when people talk about, like, the series as a whole. But I think the original came out in 2002. There was a sequel on PS2 that came out, like, in 2006, I think. And then this one that just came out and within the last year is the most, it was like the third game, essentially, not counting the VR. But yeah, I think it just came out on PlayStation, like PS Plus Extra, and it just left Game Pass. But it was the cool thing about Gungrave is it's a strong case for why longer games aren't always better, because because the first PS2 game was like 2 hours long, but it was also good for, like, speed running and stuff like that. The second game came out, and I think it was like 4 hours. Like, they made it longer, but it didn't wear out its welcome. And this game was like fucking like 9 hours of literally just tapping right trigger while he automatically targeted and shot everything in front of him. So it got to the point where I was like, all right, dude, like this really does not need to be 31 levels long. I get the point. Like nothing's changed from level one pretty much. And it was weird. Like the storytelling was strange. It felt like, you know how sometimes dead franchises get sequels, but it's obvious that some company that has no connection to it was just like, oh, it's a recognizable right. dormant franchise. Like, let's make our own thing. So, like they get like the original was like essentially like a mafia story with characters who were like genetically modifying themselves. So it got into a little bit of sci-fi and then they would have powers. And then the main character is essentially like a zombie mobster. Mm. So it was already a little out there, but this one's all like with like aliens and shit. Like it honestly didn't feel connected to the rest of the games.
I saw gameplay footy of it like a month ago and I'm like, this doesn't look like anything that I remember. Like just the style and the aesthetic was like, I don't remember fucking the guy beating up forklifts.
Yeah, like this one, like the old one was kind of just like more of like a gritty kind of like old school style environment, whereas this one's very much like sci-fi. Like half the game takes place in Singapore.
You have great experience playing Japanese games based in China.
Right. But yeah, but like I don't want to say that I didn't enjoy it, because what I was doing is I was putting on podcasts in the background. It was nice to just like mindlessly mash right trigger, and if my health got low, you just use a special attack to get your health back and clear the map. And yeah, so like it was cool to just kill time with, but it wasn't like anything that anyone ever really needs to play. Like if you want to play a good Gungrave game, just play one of the older ones and like you'll get the point.
Or play the Alex Jones game.
No, they're completely different games.
Yeah, it was
like
a joke.
For one, Gungrave sounds like it was like, for one, you don't need to have cookies, like have your cookies to be able to play it. But
are we a cookie podcast now? Since we talk about them so much,
dunk along with us,
dude. And I do have to say the Quest bar, the G Fuel, and the gummy worms I had for breakfast are not settling well. I feel like I'm gonna puke.
So then you'll have room for more G Fuel.
Oh, I just had so much caffeine. Oh, I thought you had Dunkin' Donuts. That's Burger King?
Oh, no. Burger King has the best coffee in the business, man. Don't you know?
I don't think I've ever had Burger King. Oh, do you remember when they had a great marketing move where they had they released Joe coffee at Burger King? Do you remember that?
No.
They re-released their hot coffee and they just called it Joe, and they had like, you can get decaf Joe, regular Joe, or like turbo Joe, and they came in like special cups. And like my friends, we would get up early before going to school, go to Burger King and get like cups of Joe, and then go to school walking around like, look, we went to Burger King for breakfast, fuck you.
No, I don't know what it is, but their coffee is really good. Probably because it doesn't taste like coffee, and I can't stand coffee normally. It just tastes like chocolate milk, even though I got the vanilla one today. But but yeah, there is a lot of stuff that I went through, so I'll speed through some of it. Like with Hades, I feel like that's been a multi-year project. Got it on Switch, tried to beat it when it was leaving Game Pass, but didn't do it in time. Bought it like two different times and returned it within the 7-day period because I didn't get to beat it in that time. And so this time I was buying Christmas presents. I needed like $10 more for free shipping. So I was like, fuck it, I'll buy Hades and then return it in 7 days. So I did that. On my first attempt, I haven't played it in like a year, but on my first attempt, I made it to Hades and like just barely died. And then the next two times I played it, the game like fucking hard crashed when I got to the end of Elysium, and I had to, the first time it didn't save my progress and I had to start all over again. Second time, for whatever reason, it did save my progress. So I just started at the Elysium boss, which is like the worst boss in the game. I fucking hate that fight. If you remember, Derek, it's the 2-on-1 fight.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
With the Minotaur.
It's like the it's like the third boss, I think, right?
Yeah, so to me, that's the hardest boss in the game, yeah. Like even more so than Hades. Like, but, and then once I reloaded that save, I finally did it and completed one run, which is good enough for me.
Don't you have to beat that game like 5 times to actually beat that game?
10 times.
Got it.
So yeah, I'm like, you know, that's good enough for me. Like one run is good. If I want to get the true ending, I'll do it on Switch where I actually bought it permanently.
Yeah.
But yeah, like once you get in the rhythm of it, it's really fun. But I just don't feel like roguelikes are my thing. Like I just get really frustrated when I die and have to start the whole game over again, essentially.
Yeah, I think Hades was like the one that really got me because of the like the dying being like part of like the story, and where you get like a lot of those story beats is between lives sort of thing. Like that really hooked me. And then like that and Returnal, I think I've been really into, but other than that, I don't think I've really played or enjoyed any other ones.
Yeah. I think the first time I ran into it, I might've mentioned this before when last time we talked about Hades, but it didn't have the name roguelite yet, but I remember playing Dead Rising 1 on the 360.
Okay.
And then dying and being like, what the fuck? I have to start the whole game over again. And it's like, oh, but you carried over all of your upgrades, though, so you get stronger each time. I was like, no, that just sounds like an excuse to take a 2-hour game and extend it to 20. Like, no, like, that sounds so terrible. So, like, I've just never been into them. Like, Hades, honestly, is one of the better ones for, like, the exact reason you said. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a outside of just the upgrades, there is a benefit to it because the characters acknowledge and the story advances every time you die, regardless. But there's just something, especially because it's all randomized, so sometimes you'll breeze through it, and then other times you'll get a room full of like armored archers with poison that just fucking ravage your health.
Yeah,
and then you have to start all over again. It's just like, it's not my thing, but I do recognize how well made it is, how polished it is, and the gameplay is really solid. And I'm glad that I was finally able to get through at least one run after trying for like fucking 3 years or however long it's been. And then so that time I returned it, and I don't think I'll ever have to get it again. if I play it, like I said, it'll be on Switch. So, but like the two big games that I've played this week are Like a Dragon Gaiden and Alan Wake 2. So now that I'm not working and I have more time to play stuff, I think Like a Dragon was like the first time that a game came out on day one on Game Pass, and I was actually able to fucking play it and finish it. Instead of waiting a full year and realizing, oh shit, it's about to leave. Yeah. And it was awesome. Like, I felt like it was kind of unnecessary when it got announced, because just for the quick backstory, like, you guys, I know on Game Passengers, you played Yakuza 6, I think, right?
We played 6. Was that 6 that we played?
I think so. I don't remember.
All I remember was going to the internet cafe and doing the, like webcam sex chat mini game. I was like, hell yeah, this is dope. This is game of the year.
They have one like that in this game, but it's like in person, like at a cabaret club. And I think pretty much every game's had a cabaret club mini game, but it's always been like in-game models. But this time it switches to like a first person FMV, like fucking Sega CD style.
What's this game called again?
It's called Like a Dragon Gaiden. The game's not called Yakuza anymore. It's a little confusing, but
isn't Like a Dragon like a different series?
Yes,
like
and
a
no.
Different timeline.
Well, the game in Japan was always called Like a Dragon, and when they came out with Yakuza 7 in America, what would have been Like a Dragon 7 or Yakuza 7, they just called it Like a Dragon. That was the first one in America to be called that. And it seems like going forward, they're just calling every game Like a Dragon. So it does get a little confusing. This game is essentially Yakuza 6.5. So it takes place after 6, but before 7. And it kind of bridges some story beats that take place between 6 and 7. So it's a little weird. And then just, I guess, to give a little bit more background. So 7 was supposed to be the passing of the torch. It's a completely new main character. It's mostly a new story, but there are a lot of connections between the old and the new one. And then like Yakuza 7 going forward, the mainline series is a turn-based RPG now instead of a beat 'em up.
Right.
So like everything's kind of changed. So this game that takes place in between 6 and 7, you're playing as the old, like original main character, and it went back to being like a beat 'em up, kind of like the old style. So this one was kind of released as like a budget title or whatever a budget title looks like nowadays, because I think it's still like $50. But it was kind of treated as like a side story. And when it first got announced, I was thinking, like, is this really necessary? We've already had like 7 games with this guy as the main character, and they kind of put his story to bed. But after playing it, like, it was really, really well done. There aren't as many combat options, because he has like his, he has 2 fighting styles in this one, whereas as in a lot of the games, he has like 3 or 4. I don't remember how many he had in 6, but like in this one, he has his old style, and then he has a new style called like agent style, where he has like all these fucking like James Bond style gadgets that you can use in your combos. So his main one is he has like this tether that comes out of his watch that you could tie enemies up with, or you can pull them towards you with to continue your combos. Eventually he gets things like exploding cigarettes, a drone, like an army of drones that you can call on to attack enemies. And just overall, like the gameplay just felt really solid. It's not as in depth as other games, but it had more new content than I was expecting. Mm. It has a lot of the same mini games and side quests that the game is known for, but it seemed like it had a lot less than like the main series games. But the main story itself, I thought, was really well done. Where as going in, I thought it was kind of a waste of time, and like, how, you know, how much can you do with this character after we've already kind of moved on from him? But they managed to do a really good job of connecting like 6 and 7 while still having its own really strong narrative. And like the ending was like super heartbreaking. Like everybody that I see post about it, they're like, oh no, I was sobbing, I was in tears. Like that ending was fucking miserable. And like, yeah, I got teary eyed too a bit, because it's like one of those things, and I won't talk about it too much because it gets into spoilers, but it has to do with like a story beat. And I'm sure you guys saw a little bit of it in 6, where he's focused so much on like his adopted daughter and his, and his, I think he's had that orphanage since like the 3rd game. And like, he's always had problems with it, or it's always been threatened every game after that. Mm. Which is part of the reason why he like tries to disappear. Like the whole plot of this game is like, he's essentially off the map. Everyone thinks he's dead, but he's like doing like underground missions for this group that's kind of holding the orphanage hostage, where they're like saying, you know, you have to work for us or something's bad's going to happen to the kids. And it all like kind of relates back to that. And it's the ending, in ways it's like really, it's like a really nice ending, but in other ways it's like fucking heartbreaking that this dude's been through so much over so many fucking games and so many years, and like he ultimately still can't really just live in peace. Right. So it's like, but yeah. And then after you beat the game, there's a demo for Yakuza 8, which I think is coming out in only like a month. Oh, wow. But that game is going to be, it's continuing from 7. It's still a turn-based RPG, but this one's going to have the original main character as a party member this time. Mm. And so it's going to be kind of blending both stories into one narrative more so than the rest of them have going forward. One really cool thing about him too is that since it's all a turn-based RPG, it obviously plays different, but he has like a, what's essentially like a limit break or a special ability where he just kind of says, fuck this. And it turns back into the old game for a little while and you start beating the shit out of everybody.
That's hilarious.
Within like a certain time frame. So like, that's another one that I'm excited about next year. And then like Alan Wake 2, I've been playing a lot of that. I feel like I'm pretty deep into it at this point. I know Derek, you're playing it too, but not too far. So I won't talk about it too much, but
yeah, I think I'm probably like 12 hours in or something.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm not too much farther than that then. But no, I'm really liking it. The dual protagonist thing is handled really well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you slowly piece together the story as the characters figure it out, I think is really cool. And then there's some really interesting mechanics, like how, I like how the gameplay is essentially the same for both characters, but the way that they interact and approach the world is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you play as Saga, who's the FBI agent who's investigating what happened to Alan Wake, like she uses her deductive skills and her detective skills to kind of like piece together all the crazy shit that's happening. And as she figures out more, then the world starts opening up. And then the world's also changing based off of the manuscript pages she finds, which is pretty much what happened in the first game.
Yeah.
And then whereas when you play as Alan, it's like he's actively writing the story as you're playing. And then you can focus on different subjects, and then the map will change depending on what subject you're focused on. So if it's like, if you're in like, I think one of the early levels is a subway tunnel, and it's like, oh, I'm searching for this missing FBI agent. So you do that, and then you're following this blood trail that's leading you further and further into the area. And then if you change the writing to say, oh, I'm focusing on this cult, then that map will completely change to like a, the cult setting up like this podium, setting up a sacrifice, which completely changes the items and rooms you can interact with in that same space. And then you can like swap back and forth between, so you can like solve puzzles or change the map the way that you need to change it to proceed.
That's kind of cool. Really,
it's really well done.
There's parts though where it feels a little too abstract, so I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and I feel like I'm just guessing until I find the right thing. Like my my one major criticism so far is like sometimes there's really large gaps between checkpoints, and the game the game rarely. Well, sometimes like with big story parts, it'll do like an autosave, but for the most part, you have to like manually save. And if you get on one of those parts where, for me at least, I have trouble figuring out what you're supposed to do, and I'm like kind of stumbling my way through it, and then I get pretty deep into it without a save point, and then I get killed, and then they take you back like 15, 20 minutes, and you're I was like, fuck, what did I do? Like, what do I have to figure out again? And like, I guess coming off The Last of Us, one frustrating thing about Alan Wake is like, with Last of Us, if you find collectibles, but then you die and you get taken backwards to before you found the collectible, it'll still save that you found that stuff.
Right. Yes. Yes.
But like in Alan,
back for it again.
Yeah. Like if anything you picked up, if you die before the checkpoint, it doesn't remember that you found it already. So it's like, you have to go back and find it again. You have to kind of remember what you found, because this game handles collectibles a lot better than the first game.
How many thermoses do you have?
Well, in this game, thermoses are save points, so they're not an actual collectible. And also, the collectibles in this game actually feel useful, because all of them give you like a bunch of like gear and equipment that you'll need. And since this one's more survival horror focused, it's like equipment can be pretty scarce. So I feel like this one's pretty good about actually rewarding you with something useful to make the collectibles worthwhile.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just sucks when it's like, oh, you found them.
Are you okay?
Oh, that's the cats. They're fine.
Oh, are they okay?
I don't know. They'll be fine eventually.
Eventually.
But yeah, another thing too, that I am kind of back to how the collectibles have useful items in it. One thing I don't like about the game too is that the items are randomly generated, it seems. So it's like sometimes I'll be low on bullets and I'll find a box full of bullets. I'm like, cool, that's exactly what I needed. And then I'll die the checkpoints before I found that box of bullets. And then I'll go back then open that same box and there's like nothing in it. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Or other times it'll be replaced with like a fucking bandage I don't need. Right, yeah, it's just the story being written. He decided he didn't need to defend himself that time.
Mr. Scratch, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I'm really liking it so far. I'm excited to.
The game's also like, the graphics and sound are so good in this game. Like, it just looks and sounds amazing.
Are you playing it on Game Pass or did you buy it on Steam?
Me? It's only on Epic Game Store, so I bought it on Epic Game Store.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Megan bought the Digital Deluxe on Xbox, so that's how we're playing it.
Speaking of physical games, Logan finally got his Cult of Lamb pre-order from a year ago.
Jeez.
I said, like, did you get that from Limited Run Games? Like, no, but I got them from like Limited, like the second worst Limited Run Games. So, shouts out Special Reserve Games.
Never even heard of that one.
They've been around. I think they were around first, weren't they? Weren't they, Josh?
I don't know.
Were they the first?
There's so many. Like, I honestly didn't really keep track of it until fairly recently, so I don't know which one was first.
I think Special Reserve was the first one, because I remember them like ages ago. Huh. All right. Well, do I get Alan Wake?
I mean, I feel like it's definitely worth getting. It's really good. I mean, it has, like I said, it has things about it that I really don't like, but overall, the game itself is really well made. It's really creative. The way that like I said, the way that the two characters interact with the world in completely different ways, that makes it feel fresh, mm-hmm. even though they essentially play the same.
It's super neat that you can like kind of choose when to switch back and forth too. I really thought mm-hmm. that was because they like between, like, even though the gameplay is similar, they do like they're in completely different places too, so it feels very different. And like one seems like it's more combat focused more often than the other one maybe. And so like after you've been through a big chunk with one person, to be able to decide like, okay, I'm into more of this, or to be able to decide to switch to the other protagonist is like really neat. And the way that it still seems to weave together well while being able to do that is super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really worth playing. And then hopefully if and when it comes to PlayStation, I'll have a chance to play it again, because it doesn't seem that hard to 100%. And I'm like, especially now that I have more time, I'm really into trying to get platinums on everything. So,
do you say if and when it comes to PlayStation? Is it not on PlayStation right now?
Or PlayStation Plus.
Oh, PlayStation
so
Plus,
I was like,
sorry.
Hopefully I don't have to pay for it twice.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, and then other than that, like the last quick things I wanted to mention, I actually played two games that were leaving Game Pass this time. Mm-hmm. So I played Townscapers and finished it in like 20 minutes. The only reason I played it is because there's really no goal. You just build towns and you can get all the achievements in like 15 minutes. So I just did that. And then I logged into Megan's account and I did it again to get her 1,000 points and moved on. But it's just weird. It's just like a grid and you just place blocks. And depending on which patterns you place the blocks, they turn into like gardens or buildings or like lighthouses and stuff. Like
it looks really pretty.
Yeah, it's just one of those like chill games where you just throw it on for like 15 minutes to relax and then just move on to something else, which is exactly how long it takes to get all the achievements. So that's perfect.
Whoa, this is cool looking.
Yeah, I had it downloaded forever because I think one time they did one of their Microsoft points promotions where they're like, build a tower in Townscapers and get 250 points. So I've had it downloaded for like a year and a half. And then like at like 11 p.m. on the day that it was leaving Game Pass, I was like, oh shit, that's right, Townscapers is on here. So I logged in and just wrapped it up real quick. But no,
this
it was cool.
This looks like, what's that game that was super popular on Android where it was like a puzzle game, but you had to change the perspective, like M.C. Escher stares?
Monument Valley?
Yeah, this looks like that.
Hmm. Yeah, except this one has no goal. You're literally just doing whatever you want until you get tired of it.
Who made Monument Valley? Monument Valley. Keep going. Sorry.
No, go ahead. And
Monument Valley is a location in Colorado. Game.
Oh. Well, maybe that's what the game came up with.
Yeah, Monument
maybe
Valley.
Maybe when you beat the game, it created the city.
Who made Monument Valley? God.
But then, yeah, and then aside from that, I played like 30 minutes of the Mario RPG remake. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the
Is
animation's
it
really
yeah, it came out
yeah, it
on
just
Friday.
Came out on Friday. So like Shit. That's a game that when I was a kid, I played it. I probably played it like 4 or 5 times. Like, I absolutely adore it. And then the way that the remake is, it obviously has updated graphics and everything, but I kind of like that they kept like the Super Nintendo jank a little bit. Like the way that the characters move and the animations and stuff are very like stiff.
That was one of the first games I ever emulated on my PC.
Dude, it's so good though. I'm not too deep. Oh yeah, like
yeah.
I know they put it on like Virtual Console a bunch of times, and the Switch was the one system that mysteriously never had it come to Virtual Console, and I guess we know why now. But yeah, it's definitely worth picking up. And then they added certain things like triple team attacks that weren't in the original, and obviously haven't got that far into it. But the trailers and stuff said that there's like new post game bosses that are like harder versions of the story bosses and stuff, which weren't in it. I didn't know this because I was a dumb kid who never played an RPG before. Well, no, I played Earthbound, but aside from that, Mario RPG was my second RPG, and I remember the game being really hard, but everyone was saying that this is like one of the most like piss easy RPGs from Super Nintendo. So so yeah, having harder bosses is good. And then last thing, I haven't talked about it in a while, but Bang Dream, been playing that, but like there's a big update coming out where they're actually aging the characters up, and a bunch of them are graduating. So they're essentially, I don't think they're completely, I didn't read the spoilers on how they did it in the Japanese version because they're obviously ahead of us, but it's like some of the characters are essentially being written out, at least in the way that they've existed for the last like 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. or however long the game's been. So I've been keeping a close eye on that and playing it a lot to unlock all like the story beats to see what's happening. I'm like way more invested into this than I should be. I'm actually really sad to see some of the characters go.
Oh,
or at least move on.
How long have you been playing that game for?
God, since Kenny Omega put out that commercial. What is was it 2014, 2015, something like that?
I remember when you first started playing, talking about that game. I remember it.
It was 2018, so yeah.
That was back when I would put like random theme songs at the end. Mm. And I did a Trippy Red song called Bang as the end for that's how I remember like when you started talking about it. Good. All right. Yeah. Good job, Shane. Keep it up. All right. Dope. Yep.
But yeah. So.
Oh, dynamic resolution. Turn that shit off.
That scared the shit out of me. That scared the absolute shit out of me. Yeah, speaking of turning that shit off, do you got to go, Derek?
We should wrap up. We should wrap up.
Yeah, wrap it up. Here, yeah. Yep. That's okay. Right. Anything else, Josh?
No, that's about it.
All right. Anything else, Derek?
No, I did want to talk about the Game Awards nominations, but that will.
Do you think we could speed it?
I feel like it's too much to talk about. But
you mean Jeff Keighley's video game trailer?
I fucking love watching the Game Awards. We'll be recording again before they happen, so we can talk about it next episode. But I feel like that would be worth talking about.
Yeah. All I remember from last year was when he's like speaking of Final Fantasy, and the crowd's like, "Woo!" And he's like, "Oh, no,
yeah, right.
get a free burrito from Grubhub." Like that was like he. You could see his face instantly go, oh, this actually backfired. Oh, no.
I mean, it's not like anybody couldn't have seen that happening a mile away.
I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe they should have changed the copy for the, like... but there was a lot of, like, Final Fantasy Grubhub ads throughout the show. So
in the same show, didn't they advertise... Or am I mistaking it? Where they advertise one of the mobile games and they're like, oh, it's new Final Fantasy and it's some fucking...
I think something, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But then they showed at the end, they showed Final Fantasy VII Part II re-jism trailer. Mm. They showed the trailer for like the second Final Fantasy remake thing. Did anybody play 16? Is 16 good?
I have it installed. That's on after I finish Alan Wake. That's like one of the top games I'm going to start. So hopefully by next show I can talk about it.
Well, it's $40 at the collector's edition is $40 at Target right now.
It's pretty good.
Oh, also there's a demo, like one of those demos that's really just the beginning of the game, and then you can transfer your save file over.
Oh, that's
afterwards.
Always nice when they do that.
Yeah, so that's up there too. So you guys can play it without having to buy it, at least up to a point.
Hell yeah. All right. So yeah, be sure to check us out. We should have another episode out before the charity live stream on the 8th. But dunk along with us. Charity live stream. Geekscape TV on Twitch. Check out Geekscape Forever on Instagram for that. Raising money for Big Brothers, Big Sisters of New Jersey. Fully funded. What do you call it when you get the money you need for a kid?
We've kickstarted one childhood.
But on that bombshell, goodbye.
Oh, dynamic resolution. Turn that off.